Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Economics Report and American Mosaic, coming up after As It Is.
Hello again, and welcome back to another As It Is program. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. We are here every day with a new program that aims to help you learn and improve your American English. We do this by using words that are easier to understand, and we speak a little more slowly. But the stories we bring to you each day are important. They help you learn about our world while you are working on reading and speaking English. Today, we have a report about two nations that were once enemies, but are trying hard to be friendlier. Those two countries once fought a long and costly war. They are the United States and Vietnam. Relations may be improving, in part because the two countries need each other. The United States wants to have more influence as part of its Asian pivot, and Vietnam wants to become less dependent on its powerful neighbor, China. Christopher Cruz reports on the developing relationship between the two former enemies.
Last month, two senior American senators visited the Vietnamese capital, Hanoi. Bob Corker is the top Republican on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He said the Senate is considering lifting the ban on the sale of lethal or deadly weapons to Vietnam. Senator John McCain said there is support for the ban to end, at least in part, possibly as soon as this month. Senator McCain and other American officials had, until recently, opposed ending the ban because of what they considered Vietnam's poor human rights record. Mr. McCain said he was pleased that Vietnam had recently signed the Convention Against Torture and was permitting more religious centers to open. But he said the country had more work to do to ensure human rights were respected. Senator McCain was held as a prisoner of war for almost 6 years during the war in Vietnam. Jonathan London is a professor at City University in Hong Kong and a Vietnam expert. He says if the ban is lifted, it would, in his words, symbolize a real change in the two countries' relations.
Vietnam stands to gain considerably from U.S. intelligence and U.S. expertise and know-how with respect to maritime affairs.
The top American military officer was also in Vietnam in August. It was the first visit to Vietnam by a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff since 1971. General Martin Dempsey was in Vietnam for 4 days. The Vietnamese Defense Ministry said the two countries would increase cooperation between their military forces, including in maritime security. The United States and Vietnam agreed to formal relations in 1995. But military cooperation has been limited because of the ban on the sale of lethal U.S. weapons. The ban has been in place since the war in Vietnam ended in 1975. Roger Baker is the Vice President of Asia-Pacific Analysis at Stratfor, which describes itself as a geopolitical intelligence firm that provides strategic analysis and forecasting to individuals and organizations around the world. In a recent online column about improving relations between the two countries, Mr. Baker said Vietnamese leaders blame the ban for relations not being closer.
One of the things that the change in the arms regulations would do would be a way to reassure Vietnam, reassure the Vietnamese leadership, at least in part, about a slightly stronger commitment or reliability of the United States in this new relationship.
Mr. Baker told VOA that while Vietnam wants closer ties with the United States, it must consider what that might do to its relations with China.
Vietnam wants better relations with the United States, but at the same time, Vietnam is very, very cautious about the implications of those relations on how they manage a much closer nation, being China.
Carl Thayer is a professor at the University of New South Wales in Australia. He has written hundreds of books and reports about Vietnam. He says Vietnam's leaders are meeting with officials of the United States and other countries as a way to show that they are not completely dependent upon China.
China keeps warning them about moving too close to the U.S., but that doesn't stop them from working towards Japan, which they've already done, and India, if India is willing to play the game.
Still, Vietnam understands China's power in the area. A top official of Vietnam's Communist Party recently traveled to China, where he met with the country's President Xi Jinping. Relations between the two countries have been tense since May. That was when China moved an oil drilling platform into areas of the South China Sea also claimed by Vietnam. The platform was withdrawn from those waters in July. But before that happened, there were deadly anti-China riots in several industrial zones in Vietnam. A Vietnamese foreign ministry spokesman spoke to reporters after the meeting between the Chinese president and the Vietnamese official. The spokesman said Vietnam and China would continue to try to move relations in the direction of, in his words, stable development. He said the two countries would continue to improve cooperation in diplomacy, defense, security, economy, trade, law, and humanitarian issues. Still, as Mr. Baker from Stratfor notes, the oil rig incident showed Vietnamese leaders that China is prepared to act in its own interest, even if that means harming Vietnam.
Vietnam as a nation is always somewhat at risk from its much larger neighbor China. And when China acts assertively in the maritime sphere, that threatens Vietnam as a nation. And that's where Vietnam starts to look out to the United States, starts to look out to Japan, starts to look out to Australia, and says, maybe we really do need to work with some of these countries, not necessarily to become completely pro-Western or fundamentally change how we are, but certainly to balance what we're doing with China. But the risk of reaching out to those Western countries is that those countries usually require and demand certain changes in the internal political dynamics, and that can threaten the centrality of the party.
Mr. Baker says because of the oil rig incident, Vietnamese leaders who believe the country should have better relations with Western nations have gained power within the government.
Those who have seen the potential strength of stronger ties with the West have certainly gained an element of influence within Vietnam because of what the Chinese have done with this oil rig.
But he says Vietnam will always remain close to China. I'm Christopher Cruz.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Now it's time to use your computer to print the words you just heard, and then download the audio. Then practice, practice, practice reading and speaking American English. Learning English is a part of the Voice of America. Goodbye for now.
The Economics Report is next, followed by American Mosaic. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Economics Report. The world is getting older. As more people retire each year, fewer working-age people will be there to replace them. This has effects not only in the workplace, but in the world of finance. The bond rating agency Moody's says the aging population will lead to a drop in household savings. This could mean that total investments will fall and economic growth could slow. Some reports have described Japan, Italy, and Germany as the world's super-aged nations. That is the name for countries in which at least 20% of the population is at least 65 years old. Elena Dugar is head of Moody's Sovereign Risk Division. She says changes in many populations are taking place quickly.
The demographic transition is upon us now, and it's progressing by historical standards quite rapidly.
In 5 years, 6 more countries will join the list of super-aged nations, and 34 nations will be super-aged by the year 2030. Elena Dugar says this will have a big influence on labor and savings.
That will translate into reductions in labor supply. At the same time, aging means that the household savings rates will go down, which will negatively impact on investment. Both trends put together would mean that aging will have a significant negative impact on global growth.
The conference board reports on business conditions around the world. It says an aging population could reduce world economic growth by 1% in the next 10 years. Kishore Kulkarni is with the Metropolitan State University of Denver. He says immigration is one way to reduce the effects of an aging population. Older adults spend money differently than younger ones, and experts say that difference affects the economies of countries. But Kishore Kulkarni believes that specialized career training and productivity gains from technology could make up for the drop in the number of workers. He says the problems of an aging population represent only a mismatching or misalignment of the demand for goods.
It is a misalignment of the demand rather than a total and a drastic change in the demand. And it is a challenge which we can easily accept and tackle as it comes to us.
He also says that an aging population will be less of a problem in countries where older people are highly valued. And most experts agree that younger workers will have to work longer and retire later than today's older workers. And that's the Economics Report from VOA Learning English. For more Learning English programs, go to our website, learningenglish.voanews.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Mario Ritter.
Welcome to American Mosaic from VOA Learning English. I'm Katie Weaver. Every September, clothing designers gather in New York City to present their springtime creations to the public. The city also holds a fashion week in February to show clothes for autumn. Today, we talk about two designers presenting their work in their first New York Fashion Week. We will start with the youngest ever. Thirteen-year-old Isabella Rose Taylor began painting at the age of three. She says she also loved clothes. By the age of nine, she had combined the two interests and launched a clothing line. The major American retailer, Nordstrom, sells her products. But Isabella has never been on the professional side of Fashion Week before. She clothed her models in mostly neutral colors and sent them down the runway on Tuesday. Isabella's styles included short skirts, long dresses, and tops with details like hanging strings called fringe. The designer called the collection a story of spring with rainy days and colorful beginnings. Isabella is not just successful in the clothing design world. A private art dealer in her hometown of Austin, Texas, sells her paintings. And the 13-year-old is a great student. She is currently in her second year of college, many years younger than most U.S. university students. Another designer new to New York Fashion Week is famous for a completely different first career. Tennis champion Serena Williams presented her clothing line for the first time at the event. Williams came to New York right after winning the U.S. Open Women's Singles Championship for the sixth time in her career. She is the highest-rated woman tennis player in the world. But Williams has a second dream profession. For years, she did not dress like the other professional tennis players. She chose court clothing that presented a young, modern, and edgy look. Critics expressed mixed opinions about her style sense. But for now, she has taken her fashion game to the experts. Williams' runway show included 27 pieces featuring animal prints, leather, and shoes with very high heels. Williams says she was involved with every part of the show, including the models' hair and makeup styles. Serena Williams designed the clothing to sell on the television shopping network HSN. And her first New York Fashion Week show was a success by at least one marker. A much-respected editor of a much-respected fashion magazine attended. Vogue head Anna Wintour also took part in photographs with Serena Williams after the show. If you want it, take it. I should have said it before. The first three albums on Billboard magazine's top 200 best-selling albums list this week represent three major music styles. The young singer Ariana Grande tops the list with her new pop record, My Everything. Country music star Brad Paisley follows at number two with Moonshine in the Trunk. Next is a release from rhythm and blues artist Kem, Promise to Love, album 4. June Sims has more.
Ziggy Iggs, they got one more problem with you, girl. Hey!
That is Problem, Grande's first single from My Everything. Grande said it was about a bad love relationship that a person wants to continue. Australian rapper Iggy Azalea also performs on the song. Sales were no problem. The public bought more than 400,000 copies of the song within a week of its release. Some members of the Australian press seem to think Grande is a problem, however. The singer performed in that country this week. News media there said she canceled a photo shoot shortly after it started, and reporters protested that Grande had a long list of questions she would not permit, including anything about her love life or her television show, Sam and Cat. The singer denied the reports. Ariana Grande's name also appears on the top 10 of Billboard's Hot 100 list twice. She is at number 7, with the song Break Free from her new album. But she also shares the number 4 position for Bang Bang. She performs the song with artists Nicki Minaj and Jessie J. All three women work for the same recording company. Virginia native Brad Paisley is no stranger to Billboard's top 200 list. Several of his 11 albums have enjoyed the number 2 position. In fact, the country singer has sold more than 12 million albums in all. The Recording Academy has also honored him with 3 Grammy Awards. Paisley is known for writing smart songs that are often funny. Riverbank from his new album is a good example. The song talks about the fun to be had with simple things that do not cost a lot, like a rubber tube for floating on a river. It compares a rubber tube with a big, high-priced boat called a yacht. Paisley sings, "We're near the river and far from rich, but we have got each other and gas in the tank. We're laughing all the way to the riverbank." The riverbank is the land alongside the river, but a bank is also a place that holds money. And there is a common American saying that when people get rich, they are laughing all the way to the bank.
Here we go. Well, I won $2 on a scratch-off ticket, so I went back to the counter and I bought two more with it, and I won $10 and that was just right, so I bought a six-pack and a bag of ice. You know, even if our ship came in and this is all,
Kim is from Detroit, the birthplace of Motown Records. The company is home to much great R&B music. Kim has recorded with Motown since his first album 10 years ago. Promise to Love is his fourth. All the others have become gold records, meaning at least 500,000 copies were sold. Promise to Love is well on its way to gold. It sold more than 50,000 copies its first week on the market. The song It's You is the first single released from the album. Like Paisley's Riverbank, it celebrates love over money. Kim sings, "I don't need diamonds nor the finest gold." The song is about the love of a woman who is more precious than anything.
Baby, you're the one I love.
I'm June Sims.
The queen of my heart, the light of my soul. You're more precious than anything. I don't need diamonds nor the finest gold. Darling, I cherish you, and I confess my gratitude. You came along, you got a brother singing a brand new song. Yeah, it's you. Girl, I wake up in the morning and I'm tripping cause I'm digging what the Lord has made. It's you. Never thought I'd be forever getting with it, but I'm all so glad you stayed. It's you. You make it better, gotta get myself together, cause I want you more and more. It's you. Girl, it's hard to ignore. It's you.
And that's our show for today. Thanks for listening. If you have a question about American life, people, or places, let us know. Send an email to learningenglish@voanews.com. And tune in again next week for music and more on American Mosaic from VOA Learning English. I'm Katie Weaver.
Undivided, our love will stand. Cause you are my woman, yeah. To be your man. It's you. Girl, I wake up in the morning and I'm tripping cause I'm digging what the Lord has made. It's you. I never thought I'd be forever getting with it, but I'm all so glad you stayed. It's you. You make it better, gotta get myself together cause I want you more.